Welcome to the Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. I'm your host, Marcus Mackey. Joining us today for part two of our two-part series is Iowa Senator for District 12, Amy Sinclair.
All right, and you kind of touched on it a little bit there. There was another amendment in that bill that would have schools post all the books available in their library and give a process of how a parent could challenge that material, along with keeping the parent anonymous when they would make a complaint about a book.
All of those processes are going to be determined locally. It's going to look different for every school district. You know, some school district may use a type of software to catalog their school libraries. All schools are using electronic software to catalog their libraries anymore. So this isn't a big deal to get that searchable database onto the website. So a parent can go in there and they can search that database and they can determine what their kids have access to. They can even go in then and say, nope, my kids shouldn't have access to these books that I've seen in your database. So they can go in and do that. They can already opt their kids out of having access to those things. But as far as the process for protesting an item that may be in there that they think should be removed from the library altogether, each school district is going to have to develop a policy and procedure for how they want that to happen. You know, some school boards meet more regularly than others. Some might want that process to go directly through the school librarian, or they may want it to go through the school superintendent. So those processes at the school level are going to look different. But each school should have a process for that protest procedure. They need to make sure that that process allows for, if the parent or guardian wishes it, allows for anonymity for them so that they're not outed to their neighbors and friends if they want to protest an item. So it should include a process for anonymity. But it's going to look different school to school simply because schools are different.
All right. And just something I kind of thought of real quick, would that also include if a teacher had books in their room that were not education but were recreational reading?
I'm going to have to say I'm not sure the process for those. That's going to look different for each classroom. I don't know if it means that a teacher is just going to catalog that and give it out to, you know, make it available to her families or his families, you know, there at the beginning of the school year. I will be honest, I'm not sure how that will be handled through the rulemaking process, but there will be a process that's established that does get at those classroom libraries as well, just so parents can know what's available to their kids.
All right. And then one other amendment that was in that bill was that it changed the makeup of the Board of Educational Examiners and allowed for a majority of the board to be made up of parents now.
Sure. So the Senate actually removed that portion from the bill. We feel like dealing with the Board of Educational Examiners is a separate issue from parental rights, if that makes sense. And so we have a bill, it's House File 430, that we're working on that deals with processes for the Board of Educational Examiners. And that's a bigger issue than just what we're talking about in this parental rights bill. The bill with the Board of Educational Examiners really gets at some recent and historical issues with teachers who are committing felonies, particularly sexual felonies with their students, and that becoming a real problem. And we want to make sure that we're getting at that licensure of folks who are breaking the law, right? We want to get at the licensure issues related to teachers who are harming kids in a real way that clearly violates Iowa code. Now, I'm not sure where that bill will ultimately land. We probably wouldn't have licensure of doctors left up to patients. You want experts to be involved in determining whether a doctor is capable and able to fulfill the duties of being a doctor. We're going to need something similar as far as teachers. They are professionals. There are rigorous educational requirements that the state has for them to make sure that we have the best folks in the classrooms with kids. So we want to make sure that the people determining their licensure issues and those disciplinary actions understand what that is. But by the same token, we do want to have more involvement from parents and the public in that process, just so that we don't get to a point where items are swept under the rug. I don't know if you paid attention to that recent development over in the Central DeWitt School District, where a coach was allowed to resign in lieu of termination and then went on to teach at several other places before finally being arrested for having a sexual relationship with one of his students. We don't want that to continue to happen. So we need to find a better process for how local school districts are handling those situations, for how those resignations are handled. And so that's what's going to happen in a separate bill. And that separate bill is House File 430.
All right. And then to kind of finish off our interview here today, there was a change in child labor laws, which would allow teens to work longer and more hours and take on jobs they maybe previously couldn't, like 16 and 17-year-olds serving alcohol.
Yep. So, and I'll just tell a story because it, I think, just indicative of what's going on all across the state. My youngest son turned 14. He's like, Mom, I'm going to go get a job. I said, sure, honey. If you want to get a job, I'll make sure you get there. You know, if you want to save for a car, whatever you want to do, you're 14 years old. I'm happy for you to work. So he started asking at restaurants, at the local grocery store, trying to find a job he could do. And over and over and over again, my 14-year-old was told he couldn't be hired, that they didn't hire 14-year-olds because the laws governing allowing them to work were just so strict it wasn't worth the effort for employers. Finally, he was hired by the local grocery store at 15, and they were so strict on him, he could only work 2 hours because she didn't want him getting caught up in something and going over the allowable hours and them getting fined from us for letting him work too much. And he couldn't use a box cutter, and he couldn't step on a step stool. I mean, there were just a whole host of things that the 6'5", 15-year-old kid couldn't do just because he was 15, not 16. And so what the bill does is actually extends the hours that 14 and 15-year-olds can work to 9 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. I mean, my gosh, he's out later than 9 o'clock on a school night at track meets every week. Why should kids who would choose to work rather than track not gain benefit of being out and involved in the thing that interests them? So we did increase those hours from extend it from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock during the school year, and from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock during the summer hours. We expanded some work-based and learning opportunities and apprenticeship opportunities for students who are involved in those school-based or apprenticeship-based experiences. And you are exactly right. We did allow for, up until now, a person had to be 18 years old in order to carry a beer from the bar to the table at a restaurant. So if your waitress was 16 or 17 years old, they would have to have somebody else carry the alcoholic beverage from the bar where it was mixed by someone else to the table to the patron. Now, didn't matter if that 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old was a busboy. They could carry that half empty drink away from the table. They just couldn't carry it to the table. And so this bill does allow not 14 and 15 year olds, but it allows those 16 and 17 year olds who are working in restaurants. They still can't work in bars. They can't work in strip clubs. That's not legal. But those 16 and 17 year olds who are working in restaurants can now, along with the Diet Coke, can take the beer to the table as well. And so that was an expansion, and that helps out those students. It helps out restaurants when they're trying to hire folks to work in the food service industry. And we really think this is just an overall good bill to give kids the opportunity to learn how to work and to invest in their own dignity of that.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy.
You bet.
That was today's Hometown Foods. Let's Talk Guthrie County. Discover today the many advantages of shopping with your hometown team. Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center, Panora, and Stewart. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a recording of it online at raccoonvalleyradio.com under the podcast tab.